Welcome to Yolitix, the home of cold beer and hot takes on Texas politics.
Hey everybody, welcome back to another week of Yolitix as we are now coming down that stretch run. You can see sort of the finish line there as we head into the midterms here, Jason. And the ballot's getting set and there's names on it that some people are not happy with.
Yeah, and some names on it that people don't know. You're like, who's this person?
Yeah.
And that's kind of what we're going to talk about in this podcast here, because there's always a Republican and Democrat on most races that you see on the ballot. But then there are some other folks on the ballot that people might see and like, I'm not really sure who this is, or I'm not really sure what that party stands for. So we're going to talk about that here in this podcast.
Yeah, because there's been an effort to remove some of those names from the ballot as well, quite a few of them, and we're going to discuss that today. First, though, what are you drinking?
My good man, I pulled out a classic, and I want to crack this one open here on the podcast. I have...
Jersey.
This is a fine Polish lager. This is brewed by Celestial Brew Works, Celestial Beer Works in Dallas on Butler Street, on the north side of downtown. And two sisters are help run this place, or they're the owners, Molly and Madeline. And this beer is dedicated to their grandfather, who was from Poland. Mm-hmm. He escaped the deteriorating situation over there in the 1930s, and he ended up working at a brewery somewhere in Poland before he finally escaped and moved to the United States. But he is a Holocaust survivor. He just recently died, and you and I were shooting something else. We need to do a podcast over there,
right,
at Celestial Beer Works, but we're shooting something else over there, and we had this beer. They gave us one to take home. And it is the first thing I've cracked since we had the visit.
Good beer and a great story. And they write the whole story on the can, which I love. And she did the drawing of his face and everything on there. It's very personal. Really cool. Cool place too. Celestial Beer Works in Dallas near Love Field. I am having a... Since you got me up today... for this podcast, we're recording this earlier than
it's 7:30 a.m. Man, it's okay. It's 7:30.
I don't like to recognize anything before 9 a.m. And so I'm having a Convict Hill oatmeal stout this morning because you know, didn't have time to squeeze in breakfast. This is a Texas made.
Where's
beer,
it from?
And it says it's robust and ready.
Yeah, I bet That's it is. So what does that oatmeal taste like?
Starting off with a stout here.
Oh my gosh. Cheers. Wow. So we did a podcast a few episodes back, and I got an email from a guy I didn't know. His name is Kevin Hale. He is the party chair for the Dallas County Libertarians. And he said, hey, you were talking about this one conversation, but you didn't include us. You didn't have us on. And we have just as much right to be on talking about the November election and where we stand on issues than anybody else. So I reached out to him and said, hey, you know, we will give you a call. But then the headlines started popping, Jason, about what the Republicans were doing to the libertarians in this state.
Right. And then you said, okay, now we really are definitely giving you a call. Because what happened here is that, you know, Republicans sued, or they didn't sue. They went to court. They tried to keep a lot of these libertarians off the ballot come November. And basically they said, look, they didn't pay the fee that they're supposed to pay to get onto the ballot. That's required here in Texas. The Supreme Court of Texas didn't even take up that whole argument on the merits. You know, so they haven't ruled yet. On, you know, should you or should you not have to pay that fee? Because there is some disagreement over that. Instead, the Texas Supreme Court said to the Republicans, you waited too long to bring this to our attention. These folks, you know, have been on the ballot since April. They, you know, you've known about them for all this time. You waited until August to bring this to our attention. And the court really took a position here and said, you know, we're not going to take candidates off the ballot, quote, at a late hour to constrain the choices available to voters in an election. You should have brought this sooner. And so those names are still on the ballot. problem there is, for Republicans anyway, they feel like when a Libertarian is on the same ballot as them, whether it's a two-way race, a three-way, four-way race, whatever, that those Libertarians siphon votes away from the Republican candidate. And so, you know, might we see that happen? Possibly. We definitely have a better chance of seeing that happen now, though, than if Republicans had been successful and kept those Libertarians.
Yeah, Jason,
off the
this is all about these races are tightening up in Texas. The Democrats are getting closer and closer in a lot of races, especially statewide races, to the Republicans. And so if you have the Libertarians coming in at 3 and 4%, getting that much of the vote, and these other races that between the Democrats and Republicans are 3, 4, 5% difference, the Republicans don't want to take any chances, and that's the strategy there. Hey, Libertarians, let's find a reason to get you off the ballot. We agree on a lot of things, or we did in the past, at least. Let's get you off the ballot. That was the legal kind of the background that was going on. And this isn't unique to Texas. This has been happening in other states here and there, but it played out in Texas recently, and that simple three-page opinion from the Texas Supreme Court just 2 or 3 weeks ago was pretty straightforward. Hey, you should have done this earlier, GOP, if you had a problem with it. So getting back to our friend Kevin Hale, he sent me an email and said, listen, we're Libertarians. We have as much of a right to be on here as anybody else. So we gave him a call. We reached out to him. He is not only the party chair in Dallas County for the Libertarian Party, he's also running for Congress. He knows it is a slog to get there. Kevin, we're about 7 weeks from the election in November. You guys heard a podcast we did the other day, and you reached out to me immediately and said, hey, why aren't you including our voice in this? This has been an uphill battle for you guys for years.
For decades. Literally for decades. The two old parties have made it they've done a good job of not letting us be looked at as, let's say, as a party that can win. That's not true. We have 350 offices that we hold currently in as elected officials.
Is that in Texas or where is that?
No, that's nationwide. We hold 350 elected offices. The highest elected office we have, well, we actually have two, Riverside County in California. The supervisor there is Libertarian Jeff Hewitt, and also the state legislator in Wyoming, Marshall Burt, is also one of our highest elected officials currently.
Yeah, but I think then in Texas, though, you guys are still just only at the county levels, just city council, county
municipal,
commission levels.
County level. We have one mayor currently in Largo Vista. We just recently lost a mayor in Big Spring, but that's how elections go.
Why can't you break the surface in any of the other larger offices like the one you're running for?
Well, I think because there's an R, a D, and an L behind our names. I think a lot of people will vote for us if there's not a letter behind our name. That's why we're winning a lot of municipal races. It's harder for us to win the races where there's actually a label behind our name. I would love it if they would just put our names on the ballot. And that way people have to go do some research and they can't just pick the team that they think represents them. I can show them plenty of examples where they don't represent them, but I won't go into that. My hope is that people have had enough, and I'm seeing that when I'm talking to people on the streets and block walking and doing sign waves. They've had enough of the two old parties. Most of them have decided not to vote, which is sad because their voices now have just been lost. We're on the ballot for those people. I accept the protest vote. I love the protest vote. I mean, it's the most powerful vote there is right now, is to say that you've had enough. My hope is that I provide solutions and people see me as a guy that has solutions, not a guy that's pointing fingers or perpetuating the fear and hate politics that we're obviously suffering from right now.
So you are out there doing, you know, sort of retail politics. You're meeting voters where they are. I'm curious, you know, I'm sure that you get some people who come up and go, so good to see you. I'm a Libertarian, too. I support Libertarians every chance I get. But by and large, I would imagine a lot of people you come across are not libertarians. They're something else, or they're nothing, you know, that they can describe. But do you get people, do you get people who tell you, hey, I'm a Republican, they're firmly in control here in Texas, but I don't want them in there, or I'm a Democrat, we don't have control here in Texas, and I want to keep it that way, and I want to vote for someone else. What do you hear from voters who are affiliated?
The voters that I talk to that are affiliated, I point out to them, and this is my elevator pitch when I get to talk to them, I said, it doesn't matter if you're a Republican or Democrat, I'm offering you what they haven't delivered. Republicans promised to cut spending, but in 2017, they passed the omnibus bill. At that time, it was the largest spending bill in U.S. history. Democrats have promised us criminal justice reforms, but none of those bills left the House. They've had 2 years where they've had complete control of the House and Senate, where they could have got something to the president's desk, but they didn't. So to me, you're already wasting your vote on people that are not delivering on their promise. I can be a third party that would hold them accountable. I am putting myself in a position because not only am I coming in as, you know, Kevin Hale representing Congressional District 5, I'm also coming in with the Libertarian Party, which will make the argument that I should be the House Minority Leader. I should be in that position if I'm coming in with a third party. The voters have said they've had enough of the two old parties and they elected a Libertarian. They're telling Congress or both of the old parties that they've had enough. And if I get elected as Libertarian, I will be standing up and making the argument that I should be the House Minority Leader, which would put me in the best position to build bridges between these two old parties that have done nothing but divide us.
Do you have Democratic friends or Republican friends? And do y'all get along, man?
Yes, very much so. In fact, I've converted a couple of them to vote for me when they live in my district. I have a lot of friends in the music industry here in Dallas because I work at Port Davis Pub and I did some bookings and stuff before the pandemic. So I have a lot of left-leaning friends from the music industry, and I have a lot of right-leaning friends from all my friends from East Texas and Garland and Mesquite where I grew up. So it's interesting that I'm running this race and that they see me as a guy that they can trust. And because I haven't pointed fingers and said, you know, blah, 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 this, blah, 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 that. What I've said is here's a solution to that problem.
But Kevin, wouldn't you get further if you just ran as a Republican or ran as a Democrat and decided to do what you wanted to do?
I've told people that if I got 50,000 votes in this election, that I would primary the incumbent in the Republican primary.
So if you get 50,000 votes in the November election,
I will primary him in March of 24.
Hmm. Well, you grimaced when I asked.
That will be enough to at least make that primary interesting. But if I only get, like I did last time, only 5,800 votes, 2% of the vote, then it's not worth it for me to go primary him. Because then I'm out in March if I lose. Hmm. Get it? If I go in as a Libertarian, like which I am a Libertarian, if I go in as a Libertarian and I win as a Libertarian, that sends a different message to both parties. But if I come in as a Republican and lose in the primary, then I'm out because we have sore loser laws here in Texas.
So Kevin, are you one of these ones who didn't pay the filing fee to get on the ballot and that really upset Republicans?
Actually, I wanted to make sure that I was a thorn in the side of my incumbent. So I paid the filing fee, but I paid it in $1 bills. I delivered $3,125 in $1 bills to the Secretary of State.
Why didn't you do pennies?
Because they won't take coin.
Okay.
It did take them an hour and 10 minutes to count it, but for their reward, I brought them some very nice cupcakes.
Now, why did you pay in $1 bills? Kind of explain what your feelings are about paying that fee.
This is my problem with the fee. The Libertarian Party or my campaign gets zero benefit for paying the fee. The filing fee that the Republicans and Democrats pay, they actually pay to their own party. They don't pay it to the Secretary of State. The party then reimburses the Secretary of State for the cost of the primary, which is about $19 million every 2 years. So the filing fees that Republicans and Democrats raise is about $4 million. Now they're making me pay a filing fee and I get no benefit from it. I don't get to participate in the primary. and none of that money comes back to help us pay for our conventions. So I'm literally paying a poll tax to be on the ballot. The reason I paid is because I did want to be a thorn in the side of the incumbent, because I think that he's lazy. I think he could be a lot better.
You make it sound like they just don't want competition on the ballot.
That's exactly what they don't want. They've done it. This new law that came into effect in 2020, passed in 2019, cut our candidacies in half. We had about 150 in 2018, and now we have 75. That's how hard it hit us. So it's not like we're not trying to provide a choice for voters. They've made it so that we can't. They've made it's hard to recruit people when you tell them, oh, by the way, you may have to pay a filing fee that could be as high as, you know, $3,125 like mine.
Kevin, last question I have for you on this is, people have predicted for a long time the implosion of the political parties. And you know, the Republican Party has shifted far to the right. It still has a super strong base, though.
Yes.
The Democratic Party is still more center left, but it has a very outspoken liberal wing as well, too, far left wing. Do you ever see a time when the Libertarian Party might be what, you know, what people would consider a viable third party, where it can give a run for the money for the two big guys?
We're viable now. We really are viable right now. We hold 350 elected offices. The problem we have is we don't get enough active candidates. We have a lot of paper candidates. This is our fault, you know, and we don't have enough money to compete in these higher level races like the one I'm in. Let's just put it in perspective. I'm going to raise maybe $20,000. My opponent started with $2 million. So all of our effort has to be grassroots. All of our effort has to be, what I've been doing is block walking with flyer drops, talking to people. And the other thing I've been doing is sine waves on the sidewalks in major intersections, because that's going to push my name recognition up. And I know that neither of my other opponents is doing that. So
yeah, but you can only do one intersection at a time. If you run TV spots, which are expensive, then that would certainly hit folks at a lot of intersections.
Exactly, and I'm spreading myself around in that matter. I go to from North Garland all the way to South Mesquite, and all those intersections in between. We're working all of those.
Okay.
And we usually team up and do a block walk with those and a flyer drop, so that at least those people that drive by me get at least one hit. If they happen to be in the neighborhood that I'm block walking, they get two hits. And if I keep doing this, I can get to the seven hits before the election. All so right. that's my whole goal, is that they see me seven times out there waving at them, asking them to pull over. That's going to win me more votes than what I did last time.
Kevin, before we let you go here, there's been some conjecture that just by being on the ballot, even if, you know, the Libertarian candidate doesn't win in November here in Texas, there are some races where they could actually pick off the Republicans, including some pretty big races. Do you think that might actually happen, that they would siphon enough votes away to where the Democrat would win? And how do you feel about that?
I'm okay with that. Both of these parties are spoiled. And if we end up being called the spoiler, I'm okay with that. My hope is to turn the Democrat in my race into the spoiler and finish second.
Kevin Hill, thank you so much for the time.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate you giving us some real earned media here. And we don't get that often. And I just want to say thank you. I really appreciate it.
Kevin, thanks for coming on.
All right. You're welcome.
Thanks, buddy. We'll see you, man.
Come back anytime. You know I will.
Kevin Hale there, running for Congress as a Libertarian here in Texas. Interesting thing, Jason, when you hear him say, I want to win. I want Libertarians to win. But you know what? If the Democrat wins, that's fine with me, too. That doesn't hurt my feelings at all. There is, a little bit of animosity, a little bit of, I think, bad blood now with some Republicans here in Texas.
You think just a little bit? Just a little bit, maybe?
A little bit. I'm being moderate. A little bit of bad blood between them and Republicans here in Texas, just because, you know, of this effort to say you don't belong on the ballot. Yeah.
And you know what? This is not just Republicans who have done this. Democrats also did this.
Absolutely.
And Democrats had success in this a few years back when they knocked off some Green Party candidates from the ballot for the exact same reason. The Green Party, you know, it is a little aligns probably a tad closer with Democrats than it does Republicans. And those candidates sometimes get 2 to 3% of the vote. Democrats in the state, as we know, they need every single percent they can get. And they didn't like that. They went to court. They knocked Green Party candidates off.
Yeah. When you're going up against the two major parties, you are going up against a machine for sure.
Absolutely. So to zoom out on this conversation, you know, Kevin there, Jason, he represents Dallas County and he kind of sees what's happening at the granular level in North Texas. But we wanted to reach out to Whitney Bilyeu. She is the party chairwoman for the state Libertarian Party. We reached her down in Houston or at her office there. And you know, Whitney, thanks for being on the program here. But let's start with this. It's a simple question. We're this far into the podcast and we probably should have asked Kevin off the top here. But for people who do not know, what would you say is a libertarian?
Well, it depends on who you ask, I guess. But speaking for, I guess, myself and most of the people in my network, a libertarian is someone who believes in putting the principles of individual liberty first. And we consider the individual to be the sovereign, the ultimate sovereign. And should be the one making all the decisions for their own lives and in control of their life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. And of course, the fruits of their labor. We seek to minimize the role and impact of government in our daily lives to every extent possible. Just trying to live free and want it for everyone else.
For a long time, that really mirrored the Republican Party for a long time. The Republican Party had some differences as well, too. But you were more closely aligned on the conservative side than you were, I think, on the liberal side of politics. But you've never identified as a Republican. You said you've always identified as a libertarian, right?
Yeah. I mean, politically homeless, I would say, for most of my younger life. And then the first time I was able to vote for president, I voted for Ross Perot. So I've been protest voting at least for forever. But yeah, when I eventually discovered the Libertarian Party, it was, you know, that was it for me. So,
well, there certainly doesn't sound like there's any love lost now between the parties after what has been going on here in Texas. Can you kind of, before we, you know, get down into what happened here, can you characterize sort of the relationship right now between the Libertarians and the GOP here in Texas after what has transpired?
You know, I've been involved directly with the party for almost a little over 10 years now, and there has not been a relationship with the Republican Party. If any, it's been adversarial. You know, they tend to think that we draw from their base, that we steal votes from them. We, of course, think the opposite is true, that they steal votes from us. You know, they don't have any entitlement to anybody's votes, no more than the Democratic Party does. And so we haven't had an actual relationship. There's been no, you know, no coalitions, no partnerships in any way. It has been and felt adversarial since the beginning, and even more so the last couple cycles, particularly because we've been libertarians have been gaining ground and becoming more, you know, now it's almost a household name now. You know, people now, when they hear libertarian, they don't ask, what is that? It's something they've heard of. They may be misinformed about what libertarians are and what we believe, but they've at least heard of it now. And, you know, we started gaining ground. And so once that happened, the Republicans specifically started trying to figure out how to eliminate us in whatever way they can. And so legislatively, they started taking actions and wasting a lot of, you know, public resources to just try to eliminate competition.
Because therein lies a problem when you say that you've been gaining ground. If you've been gaining ground, then they believe that you're perhaps siphoning more votes away from Republican candidates and making them more vulnerable. Can you talk about this court proceeding that took place here basically, you had dozens of libertarian candidates across the state who the GOP challenged and said, these people need to be taken off the November ballot. And here's why. Tell us what happened there.
So this is not the first time they tried it. They tried it in 2020 as well. In 2019, the legislature passed a filing fee. They instituted a filing fee statute that had already existed for Republicans and Democrats. They basically pay filing fees in order to participate in the primary. So to appear on the primary ballot, they pay these fees. And these fees go back to the parties, Republican and Democrat parties, to subsidize and to offset the cost of their primary elections, which we do not have. We are, as a convention, what we call, they call a convention party, we have our own convention. So our nominating process for our candidates is self-funded. We put on, you know, it's all at the party's expense and the expense of people who participate. So they instituted this filing fee policy or a statute for libertarians and Greens and other third parties and to, you know, supposedly level the playing field, which really didn't do that at all. It actually made it worse.
What would you say? What do you say to Republicans who say, come on, you know, we're more closely aligned with you than other the other major political party? You are not going to win in these races. We are dominant here in this state. And really, at the end of the day, y'all are just helping the Democrats who you're less closely aligned with than us. What do you say to that?
All of that is not true. We disagree with all of that. There may have been a time that libertarians were seen as, you know, being more aligned with Republicans. I think the way that that would be true is there was a time when the Republican Party was for small government, and they're not anymore. They're big government, you know, warmongers too. So it's just not true. We don't align with them more than we align with the Democratic Party. We are absolutely 100% for, you know, maximum, like, just social freedoms, individual freedoms from the social aspect. We also are, you know, adamant about economic freedom. These are things that the Republicans used to be for, not necessarily the social stuff. We're definitely not aligned with them now on the social stuff. They have taken a very, very hard right turn, and it's very disturbing, frankly. But we believe that if we're going to pull from either side, we're pulling from both sides. And quite frankly, we don't even look at us as a left right spectrum. For us, it's multidimensional. You know, for us, the other two axes are authoritarianism and libertarianism. And so we've got left-leaning libertarians, right-leaning libertarians. We don't consider ourselves centrists or moderates in any way. So we just disagree that we're not going to get out of their way. And I think that there's going to come a time when the Democrats are probably going to have the same concerns that the Republicans have about us. But we are libertarians. We are anti-authoritarian, anti-tyranny, and neither one of the other parties are. So
what you're saying here, too, though, is that if you all are in a race against a Republican and a Democrat and you mm-hmm. happen to, as they say, siphon enough votes away from that Republican candidate, you're not going to be sad if the Democrat wins over the Republican if you all lose.
No, no. There may be some libertarians in our, you know, in our libertarian community who might not like that too much. But that's not the party's position. The party's position is we are our own thing. We have our own voters. We are going to pull from voters of, you know, from both persuasions. Otherwise, we're going to pull from voters who've been sort of inactive for a while, too. And if we impact an election, we consider that a good thing.
That being said, do you have any
voters have choice? Sorry.
Do you have any predictions about November here in Texas?
I don't. I think other than just that, I'm pretty sure that our, you know, our raw vote counts are growing, you know, very rapidly. And the slice of the pie, you know, percentage wise, doesn't necessarily change that much. In two-way races, obviously, we do really well. I've seen, you know, over 30% in some, or you know, high 20% in some races. So I think we'll probably do pretty well in the two ways, getting a lot more votes than we have in the past, because maybe Democrats will start actually, and or people who haven't been voting will actually vote Libertarian just because it's the only other choice in that race. And I think the same might be true in a two-way with Democrats, where voters are just going to come, you know, vote against whatever they consider the establishment. And if we're providing the only option, hopefully people will choose that option instead of, you know, undervoting and just skipping that race. We probably will, you know, in the past couple cycles, we may have only, you know, covered the spread in maybe two or three races. I think we'll probably cover the spread in a few more this time around. And I'm actually really excited about that. And, it'll be what it'll be. We've got to start voting differently if we want different outcomes. So
Whitney, we'll be watching to see what happens. We appreciate your time. Yeah.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
So there you have it. I think the stage is set here, Jason. It's going to be interesting to see what effect libertarians have on the vote here in Texas in November. You know, I don't think even they are going to tell you that, oh, yeah, we're going to just bag a bunch of these races and we're, you know, taking power, even though they do say that their vote totals are growing. What's going to be interesting is what we touched on just a bit ago, and that is we're seeing some tight races. Some tighter races in the polls anyway than what we have seen in cycles past between Republicans and Democrats. And does that third party candidate sitting on that ballot, does that upset the dynamics? Does that create some movement in this, you know, total Republican domination that we have seen for so many years here in Texas?
And the other thing to watch, Jason, are these two federal lawsuits that are ongoing right now. One was filed in 2018, another one in 2020. And if the Republicans fail in this, or if the Libertarians succeed in it, then the question I have is, if filing fees and the signature requirements are taken off the table, and you can finally run for office, Wheeler, like you've been wanting to do forever, and you won't tell our listeners you want to do.
If that's the last thing I want to do.
If that finally happens, then does that fuel a third party that's, I don't say, well, I guess I should say, does that fuel a viable third party? Does it make that happen? And does it knock down some of the Democratic and Republican parties?
Yeah, because it would take away that barrier. Right. There are barriers to being able. There's a reason we have two parties. I mean, it's, you know, as we said, it's hard. It's hard to, we've heard this from people who are trying to create parties. It's hard to create that third party because there's roadblocks everywhere. If you start removing some of those roadblocks, you might have a totally different scenario, not only in this state, but in this country. So we're going to be watching what happens with those court cases. But before we get to that, we're going to see what happens in November. Does this make a difference that we've got those names still on the ballot here in Texas?
Yeah, 7 weeks out to the election, we have a few pretty good podcasts that we're working on coming up in the next few weeks. We're actually going to go on the road over the next couple of weeks to get some pretty good guests that we're excited about. So hope you can tune in for those, download those podcasts. And if you haven't subscribed, please subscribe to Yolitics. If you haven't told your mom and dad about us, or your kids, or your friends, or whomever, please let them know that we exist. And Wheeler's still going to be on the podcast until they knock down that $3,200 filing fee and he can finally run for office. So it won't just be me. It'll still be Whiteley and Wheeler.
I know. I have a feeling it would involve too many early mornings in that profession, too. So no, it's not happening. Thanks, as always, for being here with us, folks. We will do it all again next week.